all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Noah Glanville. Noah is a Navy veteran and an entrepreneur who's got a great business to talk about and some of the lessons he's learned. Noah, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Jim.
Well, we always like to start particularly with our successful business owners because otherwise it seems like everything was easy in life, and I know that's not the case. Let's start with your military career. What put you into the Navy, and tell us a little bit about your military career.
Well, you know, I always, so probably my grandfather, he was a World War II veteran, awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross, which isn't many below the Medal of Honor. You know, he's my hero, still is. He's no longer with us. I miss him tremendously. And he was, he had an energy about him. He was a very passionate guy that you know was all business, and he had an energy about him that I always respected, and I felt that a lot of that, you know, he talked about the military and you know, and just being squared away, and you know, shoes were always shined and look professional. And so that was kind of my first run-in with somebody that was in the military. And at the time I was so little, I didn't realize what it was. But I knew there was something different about them. And as I got older, I realized that that's something that I wanted for myself and the impact that he had on me. And I was stubborn and hard-headed and, you know, very similar to, I guess, how he was. So we always had a good relationship, and you know, we graduated high school, went to a year of junior college, and decided that I wanted something more and just something different, and felt that being going into the Navy and becoming a Navy corpsman and having the opportunity to go with the Marines would be a better fit for me. Of course, I had no idea what was in store for me, but that's kind of how it's kind of what got me in, I would say.
Well, let's give our listeners a little understanding of when you served. Give us the dates of when you went in and when you got out, Noah.
Sure. So graduated high school in 97, went in and then early 98, and it was a pretty fast road, and then got out at the, you know, towards the end of 2004. You know, when I went right through boot camp and met one of my best friends in boot camp still, hopefully a lifelong buddy, and then went immediately to Naval Hospital Corps School in the Great Lakes. So it was literally right across the street from boot camp, and definitely cold during that time. And then from there was sent to 1st Marine Division in Camp Pendleton, California, and went through FMF school, Marine Force Corpsman, basically medical training to go with the Marines. And so after FMF training, was assigned to 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, Alpha Company, and was with them for a long time. and basically when you're a corpsman with the Marine Corps, especially the 0311 Marines, you're pretty much an infantry guy. You go everywhere with them, and deployed over to, my first deployment was over to Okinawa, and then East Timor. That conflict erupted, and we were a quick reaction force for the Australians, and they were in support of them mitigating that conflict, and then came back, and then the next my next deployment was over to Iraq, and in early 2003, and was over there, and then for about 6 months, and came back home, and then and eventually got out and went to work as a contractor overseas, as a security contractor, and did that for a number of years.
And your time in Iraq, in your total service time, was about 6 years, if I've done the math right.
Correct.
And a lot of people who go through the Corps and MOS sort of head into healthcare after their service, but that wasn't the direction you decided to take. Kind of what was going on in your mind about how do I make this transition from military service to the civilian side?
Well, that was something that I had a tough time with. And, you know, I think it's important to talk about that and share that story with others, because, you know, veterans get out and especially after going through combat, and, you know, you're supposed to come out and be tough and be able to grab the world by the tail and swing it around, and you don't know otherwise, but that's just simply not the case, as we know. And there was a transition, and I remember going to work for the corporation and a large business, and I was a operations manager, and I was frustrated because of how the corporate world worked, and my view of the world at the time, you know, was very different. I depended on people to stay alive and be professionals, because if you weren't, you could potentially pay the ultimate price. And all of a sudden you're thrown in with a group of people that are more concerned about clocking in and clocking out and getting home and watching TV or whatever it is that they do, but the stakes aren't near as high. And so that by itself could be frustrating when you want to see things done right and you expect people to take pride and care about the job that they're doing. And that was something that was a struggle for me. And I did that for about a year and a half, and then decided that I wanted to somehow catapult myself back into the military world. But there were some things I needed to do. One, I needed to make some more money. We don't pay our military near enough, especially the enlisted guys. But get around that caliber of professional. And so I decided to go back, and I vetted through a security company at the time. It was Blackwater, but you know, it's a different name now, and there's many security companies out there, and I switched over to another one after a number of years, but did protective work and did the contractor, as it kind of the contractor gig, as they say, and overseas, and then deployed off and on many times to Iraq and Afghanistan, and that was a very different experience, and you know, one you can only really get into if you were a veteran, and you know, feel like I could probably write books on those experiences.
I'll bet you could. And it's interesting, veteran radio listeners. We're talking to Noah Glanville, who's a entrepreneur, and we're going to talk about his business here next. But it's interesting, Noah. You mentioned what we hear often when we're talking to vets, certainly the current crop, which is when you come out of that, back into that civilian world, that first job or two just may not hit the mark for you, and the need to look for something else that fits better with where you're at the time. And I think, you know, that's one of those lessons learned. Nobody, there's no roadmap, there's no procedure for how to come back out of service, but I do think there are little, you know, nuggets of wisdom that the guys like you pass along, and one of that is, if you need to, move on to something else. Find the right thing for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a shame that there's not a mediary program that is an in-between for veterans that are getting out or don't necessarily, and even, you know, you may feel like you have a perfect plan, getting out, you're going to go to work for, I mean, it could be a family member's business and think that, you know, everything's going to be fine and there's no reason to have your guard up. And you just realize that working with, in the civilian work sector is very different. And after you've, and for a lot of guys, it's all you know, because you come in shortly after high school. So if you do have any other real world life experience, you know, in the workforce, it's probably limited.
Well,
and
somewhere along the line, you decided, hey, I think I want to be my own businessman. I want to get out there and do it myself. So tell us how it came about that you established Pit Barrel Cooker Company, and sort of tell us that story.
Sure. Well, you know, one thing that I think's in my blood, and I always, my dad, he was an entrepreneur at several different businesses, and, you know, my grandfather owned his own business. And so, you know, from a young age, I was cutting grass and clearing lots with a weed eater, and I remember borrowing, you know, a few hundred dollars from my grandfather, and it was a big deal, and he's, you know, we're going over a payment plan, how I'm going to pay it back, and how much gas was going to be needed, and what I was going to, you know, return on investment, and so I realized that I wanted to own my own business and take charge early on, and I always did that. Once I was out of the military, you know, it was finding the right idea I could focus that energy towards. And, you know, I definitely struggled with PTSD. And I hadn't dealt with that until I stopped contracting. Contracting was more of a blinder and kind of a mask for that and really dealing with it. And it wasn't until I got done with that I realized there's some work to do. And I was fortunate enough that I had a business that I jumped into headfirst, and that's what's so critical is being busy and having something to focus that energy towards. And it's either going to be, it's energy, and it can either be positive energy or negative energy. And I chose to make it a positive energy and stay busy with starting the business. And, you know, I always liked cooking and I always liked food. And my dream was to actually go to culinary school and have a restaurant. And I may not go to culinary school, but I might own a restaurant one day. But that was my goal. And, once I had contracted and saved up some money, I realized that there may be a better way to do it. And, you know, maybe getting into manufacturing or solving a problem. And that was what I saw was an opportunity and looking around. And that's what I think, you know, veterans and military, you know, prior military personnel or military personnel, they were problem solvers, and that's the way we're successful. And, you know, we look at territory, or we're going to take land, or we're going to execute a mission. And so there's a problem to solve. And so when you get out, you look at things that, you know, what would make a better process in doing whatever you're interested in. And for me, it was cooking, and it was, you know, outdoor cooking with charcoal. And what do we, how could we create something that is darn near set it and forget it, has a high cooking capacity, is different. You set it for your elevation, one time, and there's really nothing to mess with. There wasn't anything out there on the market at the time like that. And the money that, I'd saved up, I looked at my wife and said, should we spend the money on a utilities patent? It was going to be really expensive. We decided to go forward with that, and, went head first, and we worked our tails off, and through blood, sweat, and tears, literally, it's been very difficult, but it's been also very rewarding. We've got, you know, I feel like we're very connected with our customer base and the people that are aware of our product. It's almost like a family, and the people really appreciate what we've gone through, to create such a great product and provide great customer service and run a company the way an American company should be run in my eyes. And we, you know, we continue to do that and fight the good fight.
Well, this is, you know, it is a risk to start a business. And it is, as you say, blood, sweat, and tears, and all of your financial resources go into it. and you better have a cooperative family because it's going to really consume you as you get a business off the ground. And Pit Barrel Cooker Company started in about, I think, 2010, so you've been around for a while. You've survived the startup phase of it here. Are there business resources that you'd recommend to other veterans or people out there kind of looking at, well, maybe starting a business is something I should do as well?
Gosh, that's a great question, and you know, had I known I was going to be asked this, I would have done some research to be able to identify one, you know, on air. But you know, I'll throw my hat in the ring. You know, I'm somebody that makes myself available to our customers, and of course, military veterans, and anybody that is interested in starting their own business and that's a veteran, and you know, wants to know the do's and don'ts. I would be more than happy to spend time and help them out personally.
Oh, that's great. And you'd be surprised. We have a number of guys who we interview, and Gail's talking about sort of that. How do you go from veteran to business owner? And they say the same thing. Hey, I'll talk to any of my other fellow veterans if they need some coaching or some advice. And you actually have your cell phone number up on your website, which is
right.
pitbarrelcooker.com. Let's talk about the manufacturing process, because you said you try to run this like the American company should be run in your view. And is the manufacturing done in Kentucky where you're at, or is it done elsewhere?
That's a great question. So when we started, I'd like to say I welded them in, you know, welded every unit and made them in my garage. And the truth be told, I didn't even have a garage. I borrowed my neighbor's garage and designed it, and developed the pit barrel, and then, you know, realized that we really had something special. A good friend of mine offered his facility to help us, just let us grow our business, and never forget that. You know, we basically, you know, started something that was, you know, it was just an idea that we stumbled on. Well, I mean, it was something that I knew had tons of potential. And just through a lot of R&D and testing, you know, we were able to turn it into something, you know, something much bigger. I don't know if that answers your question, or if we got off a little there. I apologize.
Well, tell us a little bit about the manufacturing process, the delivery time,
sure. All
of that.
Absolutely. I knew we took a turn, so that's a veteran for you. Anyway, so yes, we after you know, having a facility that we could make these things in and grow the business, it was growing exponentially, and you know, we outgrew, you know, several places, and then needed to really find a more sophisticated manufacturer. We looked all over, you know, thought we had found one, we were really excited about, and that wound up not working out. That was a huge disappointment. And then, you know, we were back to the drawing board again and found a place on the West Coast and started manufacturing and porcelain coating the drums. And as we grew, we realized that we were just limited on our capability. And one thing that I was very proud of is one, being a veteran and, you know, loving America and living the American dream. I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to go overseas in manufacturing. And I resisted that suggestion, and it made better business sense. And I resisted that for a long time until someone said, you know, you may really want to look at it, and it's not all bad. And a lot of the things that are important to you, you may still be able to accomplish. And after looking that, I took a trip overseas, went to China, looked at it, and I said, you know what, if I can not eliminate jobs, create more jobs in America, the organizations that we're passionate about and want to give back to, if we're in a position where we can sell more product and be more able to get into larger markets and expand, we could give more to those organizations. And if the quality of the product was better, it's a win-win. And I said, if we can accomplish all those things, then I would consider that. And I went over and realized that, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, things, and I say this, there are other places in the world that things are proudly made. And I think that's really an important statement because, you know, we've got to play with, we have allies all over the world. And especially now, that's very important. And, you know, not getting political, we're talking about trade. You know, the bottom line is, you know, America is not the only place that things are proudly made. And I can say that I'm a veteran. I fought for my country.
I think, as you say, it's more about growing the overall pie rather than just protecting it and not letting it get the business grow to its natural size. So that's great that you found a way to continue to grow. Talk to us a little bit.
Absolutely.
I saw some of the materials that it took you over 30 prototypes to kind of come up with this porcelain-coated steel drum. Tell us how it works.
So quite simply, you know, there's been drum cookers out there and known as kind of the ugly drum smoker. Typically it could be a plow disc or just, you know, some kind of, something at the bottom, you know, you just throw the coals down. I've seen nothing before, some vents in different places throughout and, you know, basically a rack in there and people would cook on that. And so, you know, there's with the pit barrel, I wanted to create something that was, you know, basically self-regulating and that you could take to any elevation and the guesswork be taken out. So there's no vents to adjust on top. There's no ventilation vents to adjust. They're fixed. And then the bottom one is basically your elevation. So we have that set to where, you know, whatever your elevation is, you adjust it to X and you're good to go. So that's as far as the ventilation control. And then the lighting process is very straightforward. It has a predetermined coal basket. You light that, you wait 12, 15 minutes, and you're hanging meat and cooking. And the juices drip down onto the coals. There's no water pan. That's something that's also very different. No water pan. We've created an environment through the proper ventilation that the juices drip directly onto the coals, and it causes this amazing flavor within, and it's just different. And anyone that has the product or case of food, all always agrees that it's absolutely amazing, and they're sold. I mean, there's cookers and smokers that are thousands of dollars on the market that don't come close to how good this product is, and we've done all the work for you.
So when you're a Navy corpsman and you're a tour of duty in Iraq, did you ever imagine that you'd be this business tycoon with this company and manufacturing overseas and this great customer service? I mean, is this beyond your wildest dreams or what?
You know, things have turned out pretty good. You know, but I mean, the bottom line is if you think big and you're willing to take some risks and work really, really hard, you can accomplish anything. I mean, that is truly what it makes America so great is there is opportunity for everyone, and it's how you want to go after it. And if you're not making it happen, you know, you may need to really take a look at yourself because it's there. And there's people, you know, like I said, I mean, you got to listen. And I'm a veteran. I'll never stop taking care of our own. That's what we do. And if somebody wants to do something, and I'm pretty easy to get a hold of, they can look me up, call me, and I'm happy to help people out. And you gotta look for that kind of help and be able to identify an opportunity when it's in front of you.
We're talking to Noah Glanville, who's the CEO and founder of Pit Barrel Cooker Company down in Kentucky. This great veteran-owned business. Noah, if people want to know more about the product that you sell or get in touch with you, where should they turn?
Probably best place, just pitbarrelcooker.com. And, you know, our website has a lot of great information on it about the product and contact. And, you know, my cell number is listed. I'm always working in the office and pretty available.
Well, I want to thank you for taking some time today to talk to us about your service to the country and the Navy and your transition to civilian life, and wish you and the family nothing but the best of luck as you go forward with pitbarrelcooker.com.
Absolutely. Sure appreciate having me on.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.